You wanna put them in your mouth, lick it like all down south. Whoa.
Put this Major. Shit out. That's what I'm talking about.
Major. Well.
Girl.
Pride's over. Faggots to the back.
You may all return and go home.
In the words of that one tweet, pride is over. Faggots to the back.
Head on out.
Hit the bricks, faggots. What's up with you? How have you been up to?
Oh, girl. Feeling full of pride this weekend.
Feel young and dumb and full of cum. Somebody's been partying.
Girl, it was. I could not wait to tell this story. I won't lie. From the second it happened to right now, I was like,
I have been waiting for you to tell this story. And I have been waiting and hoping and praying for you to come clean about your collaboration with the state. With your collaboration with international actors of espionage and conspiracy.
A degree or two away from like Putin, Kim Jong-un, world leaders. You know, it's kind of scary. Kind of scary, the implications. Well, first, just some housekeeping. Friday, I was at Alaska's show at the Palace of Fine Arts. The day or two after she announced their like super PAC group that all the drag queens are doing. I say super PAC, but it's like some nonprofit org, Alaska, Willem and a bunch of other drag queens just started, which I think like 10 people sent us on the pod, like Instagram.
Well, you always read those pod Instagram things, so I never get the pod DMs because you're up in those DMs.
Oh yeah, I'm managing that.
You stay on your phone, Diva. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Not
Someone's
me. I've never,
post the
I don't,
Instagram story. Someone's gotta keep I don't it active.
Have, I don't ever go on Instagram and I don't post.
Well, that's, you know, we got to get the listener somehow. But we got a lot of DMs about that. And then I saw her show and it was funny. I mean, it was good. It was just so after doing the series we just did, it was just so funny because like half of her act was about how like pride is like, what even is pride anymore?
Literally love. But it was a good
fun
show.
Yeah, it was fun. It was cool. Had a good time. And then Saturday was like the real, like, let's go out. We did the stud. First time going since it reopened. It was La Femme night, dolls, twinks, and bimbos.
And so you were none of those.
Yeah, I was none of those. So there you were any taking, of my friends that went
you
there.
You taking space.
Mm-hmm. I was like marginalizing the community further. Into
you
the corner.
Took a femme spot at dolls and femmes night.
I paid the $23 that it cost to get a ticket.
So you think with your rainbow capitalist ass that you can buy your way into queer spaces.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
sure.
We were going
spoken
very,
like a true man. Very, spoken like a true.
The YIMBY liberal jumped out. Taker. I paid to be here, so I should have a vote. No, it was. Well, shout out to DJ Sad Gay Boy who was performing there, and it was sold out. And then I was like, "Oh, we really want to go. Like, do you know if we can get tickets?" And then right when they went on a like quiet resale again, he DM'd me and was like, "Get these now." I was like, "Thank you." So shout out to him. And then, of course, it was like Oomphville. So ran into like a few people there.
It's always Oomphville at
It's
the
always
stud.
Oomphville at the stud. Yeah, I mean, that's why you go. I will not lie. It must be said.
It's not even Oomphville anymore. It's like Oomphlandia.
Oomphlandia.
You know, like.
Oomph Center Square. Yeah, it is literally like the apex of every queer person you've ever met in your life. I will have to say, it must not be unsaid, that place is a fire hazard in the way.
Well,
I'm sorry.
It wouldn't be a gay club if it wasn't a fire hazard.
I'm sorry. I was like, there were moments where I was like, this is giving TikTok story time how I survived the stud stampede, because I did not realize, because it's a new building, it's like a new layout, and they only I'm not saying this in like any shady way. Like, they're literally doing the best they can with the venue they have, and it's heroic what they've already gotten so far. But the actual room where like the DJs and the other bar and the drag shows are is to get to that room, you have to go through a very skinny hallway that is also the line for the bathroom. So quite literally the two nexus points, the main bar, the bathroom, and the main showroom are all in a like 4-5 foot wide hallway max. Whoa. And obviously sold out event. Hundreds of people are there. Literally, there was a moment where nobody could move. And everyone started like freaking out for a second. And it was like 85 degrees inside, barely any AC. And I was like, are we going to make it? But we did. And then it was a great drag show. Hot to Go. So funny how that's the new YMCA. I just have to get that out of the way.
I mean, it was funny.
Everyone's
how you were like,
H-O-T-T.
Yeah, well, because you were like, whoa, the Hot to Go song turned into like people spelling out the letters. I was like, well, one, Matt, if you know anything about Chaperone, that is from the music video for Hot to Go. And two, they do that at like Thai tea now too. Like, it's like, they like... Actually,
everyone does it. I know, it's just our generation's YMCA. That's all I'm saying. It's just funny.
It's very funny how like
everyone's
culturally disseminated that song is. I mean, I heard Hot to Go. People were requesting
Alaska
at the Dolphin
to sing it. Like, she actually did a rendition of it at the end of her show. It was like the hot button issue. Someone asked Alaska to do a Hatsune Miku song, and she politely was like, "I don't know who that is."
I would love to be the diva that tells Alaska Thunderfuck to listen to Hatsune Miku.
So when the audience yelled it and everyone was like, no, Hot to Go, please.
Yeah, some people don't go outside very much. I mean, that's my favorite thing about like being sort of a nightlife diva now is like,
the Alaska show at Palace was very much like not the people who are going out, like half of them there. And then the other half were the ones who go out, and I saw the next day.
It's funny how like I'm
like, she doesn't know Hatsune Miku, honey.
I was this person before you met me, and now I am this person again very much this year of like going out, being in the nightlife scene, 365 party girl, like hanging out with the artists and going out to the clubs. And
I mean, this is literally you. Like, this picture is literally
you. No, I know. I very much am like that. I'm giving that all the time. And it's funny, like, there is just a way that you can tell who gets out at night and who stays home. And it's not shade. I'm not being shady.
No, like, but like, if you know, you
not
know.
Not everyone is that girl, but like, it is so funny how like, just like any other space, right? Like, I remember going to a hyper pop night and there is this like crossover.
I think you
texted
me when you were there that night.
I went to this like hyper pop night. Well, I'm trying to be nice. It was an artist's show.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the performers, DJ Dave, was such a good performer, did like live coding on stage to mix their set. It was super fucking sick.
Ooh, okay.
And they were cool. And then the closer, the headliner of the show, was like, you know, not my personal favorite kind of music, but I was like going with friends and I had a good time. But mostly what was funny about it was that like, you know, hyperpop sort of has a crossover with like the Sophie Gaze and the Charlie Gaze. And there is like a large element of people being like, oh my God, love hyperpop. But it's also funny how hyperpop has kind of crossed over with like anime PFPs in a big way where like...
No, also people who watch YouTube at like 3x speed. Like,
half the people at the hyperpop night were like not people that seemed very used to being in like... a nightlife space.
I remember you said like
and
the etiquette is
half,
not
like,
matching right now.
Scene
like...
girls. And I was like, it was very odd. It was like a very odd transition where like the people that only leave their house to go to anime conventions had to be with like the Charlie XCX ketamine gays. And it was like, it felt very like jocks versus nerds, but like us in the new generation. Whereas like, by the way, I'm saying that the people who go out and party are the jocks now, by the way, just
obviously,
in case that wasn't clear.
Yeah. The brats.
And it was very interesting. It was just very interesting. But yeah, I went to, multiple Charlie nights, as I've talked about.
Amazing.
Most recently the Dolphin, and like the Dolphin has a reputation for like being the club that you go to with a fake ID in Philadelphia. Like, it's very that. Now it has sort of transformed a little bit, but it definitely has a very
like
I turned to one of our friends and I was like, this is what it feels like to have graduated college during the pandemic, like to be in this room. You know what I mean? Where I was like, this is what it feels like to have been in high school during the pandemic is what it feels like being in here right now. I still had a good time, though. And the reason the Dolphin is so fun, because it has a light wall. And like, as a girl who literally was like up at Badlands with the circuit girls and the gays for like 5 years, you know, I fucking love a light wall, bitch. I'm up against the light wall, letting the beat drill a hole into my skull, showing off my underwear to everybody, flashing tits, choreo, you know, the whole vibe.
This actual fun.
I will say, I need DJs in nightlife specifically to be more confident about trusting their music selection, because I think that like there is a certain crossover where like certain DJs, it almost reads as insecurity, but they like play things they think are like ironic, I think is like the only way I can explain it. You know, where they like will play like Sophie Reason Why, and then suddenly they'll play like Glamorous by Fergie. But like the Glamorous by Fergie is because they think they have to play that rather than they like want to actually play that. Do you know what I mean? Where it's
like this would be gaggy. Like, they would love this.
Yeah,
it's
the gay is like,
but do
I
you
guess,
like it?
It's like a big song. I guess we have to just play Espresso unmixed. And it's like,
yeah.
You don't actually have to. You can mix Espresso
or just not play it. Like, the amount of times you will mix Ice Spice in, and I'm like, this isn't making sense right now. Like, I know she's like big right now and her music's good, but like, you're not, it's not being mixed properly. It sounds very off.
I mean, like, that also feels very much like there is a whole genre of white DJs that love to like throw in rap music to like,
it's
like ironic racism where it's like, oh my God. Haha, can you believe I'm playing a Nelly song in the club right now? And I
find
like that
after
odd.
Some like pop princess kind of beat.
I find it just as odd, like again, playing Sophie Reason Why fully like mixed and interpolated and like scrubbed back and all of that, and then directly following that up with like literally like a Fergie song. I'm like, what are we doing?
Like there might be a way to make it work, but it's usually not the case.
But you're playing it in full. Now, when they mix
Glamorous
into everything in Romantic, that was like a key once I saw where they were going with it. But yeah, other than that, I think
it's an art, mama.
I think it's also just that like younger kids have like this ironic relationship to the music that we grew up with.
What's a DJ that's like kind of a joke? Happens. What's a DJ? She's not like a joke DJ, but she does a lot of like kind of ironic kind of like mixing. But people in the comments are like, I would seriously play this in the club. And I was like, you better not put that on the club.
No, but it's
it's
like these kids these days have this like funny relationship to like the music from the 2000s, which is like the music we grew up with, and this is just what it feels like to get older. But to like be like, whoa, we're gonna like play an entire Nelly song right now is like, huh,
choices.
Like, you just played like Slater and now we're gonna play like Say It Right. Okay, like it's not that I don't want to hear Say It Right, but it needs to be more tasteful. That said, I was so far gone that night. Like, the Dolphin, like most venues in Philly, but especially at the Dolphin, it is like a long, thin, low roof building with no AC.
Tight.
And packed to capacity, like to absolute capacity.
Not escaping the like OSHA violation.
In the middle of like Philly's like 55% humidity, 90-degree heat wave.
Yeah.
And you have a bunch of us packed into the building like sardines, no airflow, no conditioning.
You're,
and
like,
it's
choking on the vibes.
Matt, like within 30 minutes, I was like soaked completely through, like skin slick.
Oh, like, during that drag show, it was only soaked. 30 minutes, but I was like, I'm sticky. Like, I need, like, no one touch me, mama.
Like I had to put my hair back into like a tight bun, all of it, and my bangs slicked back all the way because my hair was like soaked through wet.
It was like a little Ariana, real quick. Like,
I was like, this is crazy. This is actually crazy. And so it felt so nice to leave the club, but there was that moment where I was like, we are still here. It is almost 4 a.m.
The problem is you leave the club and then it's still 98 degrees outside, but we leave the club and it's like 55 and windy.
Friend of the show, Kirby, was like leaving the club with me and we were all walking out with our friends and like turned to me and was like, I feel like we were born in there and we were going to die in there.
No,
like, we were
really
there from like
group psychosis.
I think we got there at like 8 p.m. and we left. We got there like 8 p.m. Thursday, left 4 a.m. Friday.
Oh my God. Like, okay. Yeah. You like became the club.
Like, no, it was that moment where I was like there was a single moment at like 2 a.m. where they were playing B2B again and like time just seemed to sort of like collapse into infinity where I was like, all there is the club. All there ever will be is the club. There is no other thing in this world than the club.
If you die in the club, you die in real life.
It was literally that Apple TV show Silo, but like the gay club where I was like, there's no world outside the club. Yes. I'm going to leave the club and it's more club. Like, yeah.
That's the goal, honestly. That's ideal.
It is the goal. But yeah, it was a good week otherwise. And then we went to New York, saw a Twin Princess show. Twin Princess, our favorite pop stars here on Eating for Free.
Yes.
Stayed over the night. It was fun. Went to like this trashy bar on Myrtle that's, I think, called Birdies, which is like I always like going places that are like not necessarily my vibe because you get to like meet see new the kinds side. Of people. Mm-hmm. But I definitely was feeling a type of way because like there was this like hot as fuck trans guy that was like kept like just eyeing me up and down and like mm-hmm. doing the like undressing ooh. From across the room vibes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then like would like talk to his friend about me, like glance over at me, like motion and whatnot, but then like never came up to me. And I was like, I literally need to have sex right now. Like, I need to literally
get
on
here?
This floor and I need mm-hmm. you to spread me out like a fucking sandwich. And you're girl. Just standing there.
It's pride.
It felt very like.
It's the time to do it.
Like, and you're laughing. What's that meme where it's like, and you're laughing? Like, it yeah. felt like that, where I was like, bitch, I've never looked this good in my entire life, if you cannot tell. And you're going to stand there and I have to like. Work for this? Fuck off. Literally fuck off. So that pissed me off. It was not a pride miracle for me this season, oh, but well. Doesn't mean I don't have a rotation.
The pride doesn't stop at the end of June, honey.
I just didn't get to make my rotation pride flavored, and that's a bummer. So yeah.
Well, you can make it up in due time.
I kept lying I was gonna add a girl to the rotation just for fun to be like, what if I'm bisexual now? But well, oh. I think with Pride being
Pride
over,
month
we
over.
Can like we could stop. Cut, we could stop that. The steal. Stop the madness. Like, actually, I'm good on that. I lie. I mean, I would never be like opposed to it, but it just feels so like far outside.
Bisexual
of...
in theory, practice question mark.
I would say I'm like what I would say is a political bisexual, where I'm like a bisexual of the mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think that makes sense, right? I think everyone's a bisexual. I think we
honestly,
can all.
I think most people. Are.
I think we can all be bisexuals of the mind. Thank you.
Well, so then I
know
more.
We've really
we
been
need
building
to get,
up towards
we need to get
like,
to
the
it,
main event.
I'm like, I still
I'm pulling up
my
this
head around
I'm pulling up this tweet on my phone while we talk.
So yeah, if you follow my Twitter, my Instagram, you've probably already seen it. It may be in the news sooner rather than later at this point.
I'm possibly, crying at it.
Based off
be in
some
the
people
news.
Have reached out to me. So last year, I had my first time at the Stud Alley, which is like an unofficial, like kind of anarchist rave that people do near the Stud venue in downtown San Francisco. It was amazing. It's iconic. It's like, honestly, the party to be on Pride night. It's outdoors, so you can just rail your joints and drink and like not give a fuck. And it's nice and cold. Anyway, the music's great. So I was like, where is that happening? It must be happening again tonight, but I don't want to like run around the city finding it. So thankfully, shout out to Mutual Skylar, who was like, hey, Heron Street, that's where it's going on tonight. And I was like, oh, let's go. So we leave the set at like 12:31, like after the drag show. And it's literally around the corner. So we walk over there. It's fully bumping. It's like hundreds or like 1,000 people at this point. People are like climbing to the rooftops. It's like, it's in this area. I've never been to Heron Street. It's really small, but there's like literally a bridge connecting two warehouse buildings. So mm-hmm. it's like the perfect vibe for all of this. Like people are like climbing structures. Like people are just like dancing out. You have people just completely naked doing like T-pose with like a mask on. Like, doing all this shit. And it's like an anarchist DJ setup. So there's like, you know, you can get bottled water here for free. They had porta potties. They had a like love. Test strips and like, you know, needle like disposal.
Yeah,
I was like,
that makes sense. That's
this
good.
Is literally so much better than any venue. Like, I was like, yeah. This is heaven. The my music God. Is amazing. They're immediately playing Azealia Banks, like fuck them all night, fuck them all day. And of course, Brat comes on. And when Brat comes on, people literally lose their fucking mind. But we're literally dancing in a group. It's me, my partner, Jasmine, Kalina, Skylar, and their boyfriend mm-hmm. that we're all meeting with. And literally, my friend just like pulls me to the corner and is like, Matt, that's Malia Obama. And I was like,
I don't I even like, know what I would do.
That's like, that was me for like the next hour and a half after this. After she said that, I literally went, what? And then she like pulls my other friend, Kalina, and she's like, that's Malia Obama, right? And then we were like, she's like pointing over, and I'm like, oh my God. I think that is Malia Obama. And I'm like looking and then I'm like, we're all like whispering to each other. We're like trying to dance and we're like, okay, well, I'm off like 14 joints and like a few drinks and a little bit of mushrooms. So like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just crazy.
I'm but my screaming friend, at a little bit of mushrooms. Like, but, okay, diva.
But then my friend is like completely sober that was telling me this. And then my other friend only had like a few drinks. And I'm not like, I don't know. We weren't like that trash. We were just like dancing for a while. So I'm like, maybe I'm crazy. Yeah. So I take like a quick video because I'm like, I have to just save this in case I end up being right later.
Yeah.
But then was not even necessary to take that video because she keeps getting closer and closer to us because the crowd starts to swell. Everyone starts getting packed. And soon she's literally dancing with us. She's like,
oh my God,
actually breaking our circle and like dancing in the middle of us. Her hair is like hitting my... I mean, she was definitely a little like, doing poppers with some people around us
okay.
as well.
Okay, making diva. Out.
She was making out with too.
Okay, well, let's not. Okay, maybe we should delete that part. I think we should delete that part. I think we can bleep that part, diva.
It was a lot. And like, there's literally like an orgy happening like 15 feet away from me. People are like doing poppers, like shit's getting crazy. The cops show up, but they're like standing outside because it's like, even I'm pretty sure it was somewhat sanctioned. I don't even know. I don't know the details, but like, obviously it wasn't completely illegal for them to like bust through and be insane. But the cops start showing up, but she's like dancing in front of us. And then her friends are like, Malia, Malia. Like, they're trying to like, taking a lot of photos. I don't know where these photos went. If they exist, I am in the background of them or my friend.
Love.
Is. And she has they all have Fiji waters, which was almost like the first telltale sign, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
I was like, nobody here has Fiji water except for this group. But the real tell, other than them calling her Malia and her looking spot on her,
yeah.
She was doing these like hand signals with her friends who like would get far from the group. Like one of them would kind of break off for a bit. And she was doing these like hand signals. I can't tell if she was just kind of drunk and twisted and was just doing them for fun. Like truly she could just been like, well, you know, like doing whatever. But the hand signals she was doing, her friend was kind of doing it too, but they looked kind of trash. So I was like, I can't tell if this is serious, but I was like, wouldn't she have hand signals? Like, what did she have? Is that Secret Service?
Love,
like, are they in disguise?
Wouldn't she, I love, wouldn't she have hand signals?
And then my friend's like, is Secret Service here? Like, is one of them Secret Service? And they just like, we don't know. Like, is that friend, that person looks kind of old. And we're like Googling like Malia Obama updates Twitter. Like, filtering her news items. We're like, is it really her? Like, could it really be her? We're like, cannot comprehend it. And then honestly, by the time she was dancing with us, it was like a full hour and a half. I was like, it has to be her. There's no way it's not. And then the cops kind of come at 2:00. They kind of like shut it down. I guess it went back later, like an hour or so later, which wish I knew. They probably just waited for the cops to leave and then started it back up again. But yeah, we end up leaving. We go back to like my friend's place. And then we're like watching the videos and we're like, this has to be her. There's no way that was not Malia. And then like someone said they may have seen Sasha nearby. And then next day, they're seen at Pride in SF. Multiple people are talking about it from the Stud Alley on Twitter. And I was like,
yeah,
it must be her. And then I post the video and I get like multiple people who are like, oh my God, I was literally getting railed like 10 feet from her. I knew it was.
Oh my God. I love the vibe of like every, like that's
everyone was like, wait, we did know. Like
that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
It also was the most San Francisco experience to go to like the queer anarchist DJ, you know, outdoor, whatever. And then like literally like war crime president daughter shows. Or like posse of rich friends.
Love.
I was like, this is the most San Francisco moment ever. It was pretty iconic, I won't lie. What a moment, truly. What a moment to have. And it was a great party. It was great already, but that was like, woo, all right.
I need to try to get to the rave this week, the queer anarchist 4th of July rave.
I'm not even joking. Anyone here that's in like the Bay Area knows anything going on that actually goes past 2 a.m., please let me know. Please. I need it
I know,
so badly.
So
I've only been to a few
in a city
and it's
where,
so
like,
great.
It is 4 a.m. outside.
It's so fucked up. Literally every time I go out partying, every time it hits 2
a.m.,
everyone
is
like on the edge of having like the time of their life. And then it's like, nope.
Yeah,
go get your $80
lift to get
home.
I think it's just like better for everything for it to go to.
It is.
One, because
people
keep going,
they keep exercising,
yeah, at
they
two,
keep moving.
It's like, there's like, I feel like at two, it's like, people
it's a
are
nexus
peaking.
Moment.
They're like the drunkest they're going to be. Yep. They're like the most worked up they're going to be, especially if they got there at 11. They probably took drugs 11:30, 12.
Yep.
They're like peaking on those drugs. They're as drunk as they're going to get. And then you're going to like release them into the streets. Like
all at once. All at once. That's the thing that pisses me off. On New Year's Eve, it was the same. On Pride, any big event, literally hits 2 a.m. All the lifts are like $150 to go like 20 feet.
Yeah.
And then no one's available. All the restaurants get super busy and full because it's like last call. And then BART doesn't even run past 12 o'clock. The bus is all shut down by that point, or it's like limited service.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, this could be like a bustling economy. If you guys just like let people party later, the restaurants would stay open later. Everyone would be happier. I don't understand like what the problem is.
Literally.
Like, who gives a fuck? Also, the Soma is just full of like five over ones anyway. Like they can suffer from the loud noise.
They can suffer. Sorry.
I don't give a fuck. Like, oh yeah. Watching the five over ones nearby, just like people looking out their curtain as we're like bumping it. I was like, that's what you deserve. Sorry. Like,
you deserve it. No, see, this is also the thing though, where like, I used to feel like this about the Castro. I mean, like the Pink Party ended because partly because of like threats of violence and the organizers couldn't keep up with it and the city was changing. But I also remember there being like in 2013, 2014, there was like this influx of straight couples with children moving to the Castro and then like making noise complaints about the Castro. And you started to see all these bars shutter in the Castro.
And all these like rich and new tech people coming into the city.
Literally, because it was like cheaper housing in like a historically like queer Latino neighborhood, trans Latino neighborhood. Like there was just like all of a sudden this like massive wave of gentrification in the Castro, combined with like discriminatory housing policies and like unhoused people policies. And so it was weird watching that die because it was one of those parties that just felt so like quintessentially San Francisco. Yeah. And like it also felt very much like, you know, there's all this talk all the time about like places for people who aren't 21 to like party. And like I was partying at the Pink Party until like 12 a.m. when I was like 18, 19, like a safe place to go surrounded by a bunch of people. It was outdoors, so like, you know, if there was any kind of like hazards or whatever, it was easy to evacuate because it was literally just the streets.
It actually
and
is so much safer.
The bars all did like specials where, you know, you could get into the bars if you were 21, and then like the party would continue in there. The alcohol would be like segmented away so like people could dance outside or they could go into the club, have sex, do that kind of thing. And it just was like sad to see those kinds of things go in the city. And that's sort of like underground. And the Pink Party was not underground and it wasn't necessarily artistic, but like with it, I felt like there was just this like nightlife scene that died in a lot of ways.
Oh yeah.
And I think that that's why I stopped partying for a long time, was just like, I got so soured on the way that it was like, but I also was writing about this in my new Brat essay.
And then you go to the club.
Read.
Oh, yes, definitely. I can't wait. Oh, no, I was just going to say, but like, and then the alternative is going to a club that charges like $20 a cocktail, has terrible music, there's no space, and it's like so expensive.
Well, I think
just,
it's
like,
why you've
it's
seen
miserable.
This like reinvigoration of like divey clubs, like divey bars turned dance clubs, where it's like $6 vodka sodas and like $5 beers and you can dance all night until 4 a.m.
It's like, but shocking it works. But in your new piece, yeah.
In my new piece, as I was writing about, it's interesting because like, I just think that like one of the things I love about Philly is it feels like partying for the sake of partying rather than like partying to like be in a vibe or whatever. Like I wrote the piece about some brat nights that I went to here and just more so my feelings about the album and like this moment in my life in particular with just like a lot of changes happening. And it's interesting because my co-editor was like, oh, did any of these parties, like, can you grab photos from them for like Instagram or whatever so we can include them in the piece? And I was like, oh, I can look, but I 100% doubt that a single venue or party promoter posted photos from these events because that's just like not the culture at all. Nor do I want it to be the culture, you know, where there's like an event photographer everywhere you go people posing for pictures and stuff. Like there are events where I have seen photographers, especially like the big like flagship events, but like for just like parties and shit, not really happening. And I like that. That said, we should move on. But before I do, if anybody in Philly likes going out, wants to be friends with like a party girl that will call you even if you don't go to the club, hit me up. See what's all about.
Bitch, honestly.
I'm pushing my hair back and we're bumping that bitch. This is the summer of the brat. And
girl,
I want to say,
really is.
I ran into a listener at the club on Thursday at Brat Night. And to that listener, if you're listening to this, I think you're on our Patreon, but if not, we'll shout you out on the main episode too. was so fun. And my friends were all making fun of me. Like, God, we're literally in the club for exactly 3 minutes. And someone's already coming up to Joan to be like, oh my God, I love your podcast, which is sort of just like a running joke amongst our friends. But it was funny. I was telling them, like, I'm sorry, but like, if I talk about Philly all the time and I run a podcast exclusively listened to by like the coolest gay people online, and then we go to the gay club, like the chances that somebody is here is just high, because I am no different from these people. And of course we are all at brat night at the Dolphin on a Thursday.
Exactly.
Like that just is how nightlife works. You know, like if you have interests and you go to a club, the chances of meeting other people with those same interests are probably very high.
I love it. So, it really was Brat summer. Every time they put on any track from Brat at either event, it was literally like uproar, like vibe shift to the max. It was amazing.
Amazing. So
bumping that
skips.
Oh,
why don't you go through these?
All right. First one, Taylor Swift enjoys night out with Travis Kelce, Stevie Nicks at Dublin Bar after Eras Tour concert. How do you feel about that one, by the way? Get a job, stay away from her vibes, or...
I think he should die. No, I'm kidding. Oh. Well, the CTE might take him out. I don't have anything to say about this.
Okay.
But I will say that I, just speaking of the Cowboys or the Chiefs, I watched this documentary about the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders.
Oh, and I heard that was really disturbing.
I just think that all cheer programs should be torched and all cheer directors put into some sort of like hag. So I just want to say that.
For you. We have
pretty, I will say, oh, yeah. Jennifer Lopez, Ben Affleck selling off art from $60 million home amid marital woes. Like, oh, they're dumping assets. They're dumping assets.
It's bad. It's so bad.
They're dumping the assets, bitch. Okay, what else?
We have pretty handsy Taylor Swift fan blast Julia Roberts' touchy interaction with uncomfortable Travis Kelce at Dublin concert.
Sure. Emily Ratajkowski shows off her endless legs and little physique in blue bodysuit while grabbing a juice in NYC.
Lithe physique. I don't even heard that word before.
Whoa.
Thin, supple, graceful.
Lithe. Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, he's so lithe and strong.
Amazing. Kerry Washington talks filming Knives Out 3, says it feels like summer camp for movie making. Certainly comes off that way.
Ariana Maddox on intense Love Island season 6 drama. I hope to host this show forever. And baby, I think she will. She's so good at it.
You're watching it now. You finally got back in.
Well, I've always been watching
you
it.
We talked about it two weeks ago, and you were like, I'm not watching this anymore. It's so terrible. I got behind
because I was partying for work and for fun.
Okay.
But
now you're in.
Yeah, I'm caught up.
You did tweet the conversation I was hoping you would have seen by this episode.
Oh, my God. I know a snake.
When Leia and Rob talk about their shared brain cell, that's literally like everyone in that villa, actually.
I was like, whoa. He's so scary, but we can't get into it. Okay. Main stories. Why don't you start?
Pressing breaking update. Kylie Jenner and Timothy Chalamet try to keep a low profile in face masks during first sighting in 5 months. Whoa. I forgot this was like even a thing. It's been like so long that we've been
It has
this.
Been so long.
It's like, kind
it
of
feels
like
100 years.
It's like the incubation period for this like soft launch is like very confusing to me. I don't see.
It just feels like, what exactly are we doing here? You know what I mean?
So Page Six says, quote, Kylie Jenner and Timothy Chalamet failed to fly under the radar during their first sitting together in 5 months. The Kardashian star and the Dune actor were spotted in a parking garage Friday while walking to the TCL Chinese Theater in Hollywood, California for a movie date. The couple tried to keep a low profile by wearing basketball caps and black face masks. Jenner dressed fairly casual for the outing in a white tube top, baggy black pants, a camouflage hat, and flip-flops. Chalamet matches girlfriend's vibe in a long-sleeve black t-shirt, black shorts, black cap, black and white Nike sneakers, and black ankle socks. The date night marked the first time the famously private pair has been photographed together since January, when they looked loved up and shared sweet moments together at the Golden Globes. Famously, that's the with Timothy moment. The Kylie Cosmetics founder and the Wonka star also stepped out for a double date in New York City in May per People, but they were not photographed. Chalamet has been busy at work in New York, where he is filming the Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown, which I keep forgetting is like happening. I like don't know how to feel about that one.
I know.
I'm like, it's going to be weird, right? Like, I don't know. It's odd. But yeah, I mean, Lily, this has been happening since like April of 2023. It's been like almost a year and a half of this, which I didn't even realize we've been going on for this long. Like the meeting of the Hummers, the meeting of the SUVs was like a year and a half ago at this point. And I'm like,
do you think they're going to have a kid? Do you think they're going to have a kid?
I mean, that pregnancy rumor was like, felt like a soft launch moment.
I mean, did you see the, by the way, speaking of, did you see the Club Chalamet hats going around from Zazzle?
No. Is that official? Official Club Chalamet hat?
No.
Did you see their tweet recently, by the way? That's like very cryptic. I don't know what it's about.
No. I'm sorry. I don't really like keep up with them.
Neither
like
do I, but this one I had to see. So Club Chalamet tweeted, is it still up or did they delete it? Oh my God, did they delete it? Motherfucker. It was something like, I've been working all year for this. Like today's finally the day. And then like nothing. And like everyone's like, what are you talking about? Oh my God. I didn't notice you screen share.
I screen shared.
We should make that for the pod.
We should.
Club eating for free.
Club eating for free.
Amazing.
Yeah, weird times to be in the like Travis Scott, Kylie Jenner, Timothy Chalamet nexus of evil.
It's pretty bad.
Chaos and confusion.
I don't like
now
it.
What's happening with Jonathan Van Ness? Because I was I saw this and I was like, I'm not even going to engage. I'm out. I don't want to engage
with
this.
It's not too much, but I wish... It's like, I think Jonathan Van Ness did the very clever thing of not saying anything until literally we all forgot about it again.
Until no one cares.
Until no one cares, yeah. And that's what's happening here. So I'm getting this from Variety, but it's more specifically from a podcast. Specifically from Variety, Jonathan Van Ness calls accusations of abusive behavior on Queer Eye, quote, overwhelmingly untrue. So just to recap, we talked about this when it happened at the time in March. There was an expose from the Rolling Stone specifically about Queer Eye production and Jonathan Van Ness being emotionally abusive, like a monster, total nightmare on set, snapping at people, being intense and scary, people like literally afraid to work with him kind of vibes. One of the quotes was, what was it? Almost like a cartoon where it oozes out of him, the intense and scary behavior. It was so bad. Like every time we felt very vindicated, but then when I read it back, I'm like, this was crazy. Like, actually, this is a lot. Another crew member added that Van Ness would lash out at least once a day, picking one member of the production to, quote, point out and blame and make the villain of the day. After obviously months of silence, again, this is from Variety, Van Ness has responded via an interview on the Table Manners podcast in which he said the story is not based in reality. He said, quote, even though I do believe that the article was overwhelmingly untrue and done in bad faith, there have been obviously times throughout my career where you're stressed out or I may have been elbow deep in highlights and was like, no, I can't talk about that right now. I know that there were times where I could have been better, but I think also being a survivor of abuse and talking about everything that I've talked about, I internalized it so badly. I was like, oh my God, is it true? Like, am I really a bad person? And then he added that he used the article as an opportunity to slow down, disengage, and then really love myself and feel their feelings. Quote, I just had to kind of withdraw and go into myself and feel it. And then once I got done feeling it, I was able to get the language to be able to say what I just said. It just kind of paralyzed me. Oh so in God. Short, that's so crazy, bestie.
TLDR, too long, didn't read.
Literally, that's crazy, bestie. Maybe a little bit's kind of true, sort of, but... No.
I think it's just funny also that
it just
like
vindicates everything again.
They're
I'm sorry.
Like, yeah, being called out really made me like check in with myself and do self-care.
This is like when HR, like when someone exposes HR for like, I don't know, concealing abuse or like protecting somebody for like bad behavior, and they do like this very long, like, we're listening, we're hearing, we're like,
yeah, listening, just restructuring, learning, laughing,
like
laughing.
We've signed up for like, you know, some training, you know, that just like get us a better perspective on life, and then you like 6 months later get laid off and no one cares. Like
we know that feeling. Okay.
Rough. Oh, speaking of rough, actually. Girl.
I'm waiting for you. I'm just
you
waiting
want me
for
to, you. You want me to do it? You want
I was
me to
looking
this?
Into more about this.
It's okay. So we kind of generally don't talk about Kanye and Bianca for a few reasons. There's like always something going on that's upsetting, but I feel like at this point we have to check in a little bit because it's getting... even worse and weirder. So TMZ, this is their insane headline. It sounds mostly true based off the accusations here. But Kanye West sued employees allegedly called, quote, new slaves. Bianca allegedly sent porn to staff accessible to minors. So, this is from TMZ. Apparently, a bombshell suit filed in the U.S. District Supreme Court named Ye and his former chief of staff, Milo Yiannopoulos. I forget, it was working with him for a long time, as defendants. The suit alleges that Kanye and co. engaged in forced labor and cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment. Specifically, the two were accused of making false promises to pay their adult and minor employees, child employees, and forced them to work insanely long hours as they were openly mocked with racist jabs and called new slaves. Apparently, in spring of 2024, when they decided to launch the, Easy Season? YZY?
Yeah, Easy Season.
Yeah. His streaming service app to rival Tidal, Spotify, Apple Music. The suit says Ye wanted to avoid paying those companies to promote his new album, Vultures and Vultures 2. So he and Milo allegedly hired an international developer group comprised of several Black members, which also included underage teens as young as 14. Quote, the docs say the employees mostly worked remotely, staying in constant communication with Ye, Milo, and their team by using digital and online communication such as Discord, Slack, Zoom. In April 2024, the doc says Milo promised to pay $120,000 to the developer group after they completed the app if they agreed to work the conditions and didn't complain. But things quickly went downhill. Quote, the suit says Ye ordered all employees to sign non-disclosure agreements, threatening to fire the minors and refusing to pay them if they didn't. Minor developers were also required to sign volunteer agreements. Then Ye's white managers, who oversaw the foreign and minority workers, allegedly used disparaging language to create a hostile work environment. In group chats, the managers used harassing language towards the underlings in regards to their age, race, gender, sexual orientation, and national origin. Some team members were called slaves, while others were referred to as new slaves. The doc says Milo once sent a chat message with a black brown skin emoji to an African-American team member while calling a younger worker a school shooter. The employees also were bullied into working long hours through the night without pay or without sleep. So it gets worse. Then in late April, Kanye announced he was launching an adult film business called Yeezy Porn, and his wife, Bianca, was sending, apparently, one worker a file-sharing link containing, not shockingly, hardcore sexual pornography, according to the documents. The minors were not shielded from viewing the videos as they developed for Ye's porn app, and Bianca is apparently not named as a defendant. But as of May 1st, 2024, after a rush to produce the app, the team allegedly presented Kanye with one of the finished apps, but it's not clear in the docs which one. Ye and Milo allegedly never paid the employees for their hard work, leading them to file the lawsuit. The suit is asking for damages for unpaid wages, overtime pay, as well as emotional distress. Girl, it is just like, when's this house of cards falling? This is so...
It's too dark. It's actually really dark.
Like, I don't have anything to say about it necessarily, except for this is definitely not the first of a similar type of behavior. It seems to be coming from Kanye's companies and groups. You know, long hours, not being paid, abusive work environments. The fact that he's using overseas labor and specifically people who are minors and then not paying them. And then obviously having these literal children work on a pornography app in general just seems so insane to me. I have a feeling maybe wherever they're paying these people, that's not something that would be illegal. So I feel like in the U.S., you couldn't have minors work in that space.
Yeah.
Maybe. I feel like they can't. That feels very crazy to say. So I don't know. This literally has just recently come out. I'll link the TMZ doc, and there's some paperwork you can kind of look throughout there. But the fact that I just keep forgetting that he worked with Milo Yiannopoulos on all this too. It's we knew it was bad, but
diva down.
Diva.
Severely. Okay. I don't have much to say about this next thing, but I do just want to say that Carl and Lindsay are both coming back for Summer House season 9, which is so crazy to me.
Why that's crazy? Because I still need to catch up.
So, they tried to make a Scandoval moment out of their divorce,
which did not happen.
Their relationship breaking up, that didn't end up happening. you know, they both were in the wrong. I think that they were both in the wrong, but it really just comes down to like your preferences on like who you like being in the wrong with. And I like Lindsay always. So, yeah, you know, Lindsay's it was side, very like Carl is a coward and he does not be honest with women. Like he cannot be honest with women. He doesn't want to be honest with himself. He doesn't want to be honest with them. He sets weird expectations that are impossible to meet. He like sort of like lies his way into like things that he doesn't actually want and like sort of just like perpetually strings women along on this like endless goose chase with like moving goalposts, right? And Lindsay is emotionally aggressive and very, very hot and cold.
Yeah.
And has like a huge problem regulating her emotions. And that was just like both of those things together were just like always going to be at war with each other. Yeah. And they were not meant to be together at all.
And I rooted for their crazy
love
because
I root crazy people love. But like those two like were in no conceivable universe ever meant to be together for very long.
How long have they been on the show? Carl since the beginning, right?
Since Carl since the beginning, Lindsay since the beginning.
Oh my God. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Yeah.
So that they've been on the show for almost a decade now.
Wow.
And so they ended their engagement where like, you know, Lindsay was like very clear that she wanted to work on the relationship. Carl had like checked out of the relationship going into the summer and basically just like spent the summer building a case to leave the relationship because he was afraid of looking like Sandoval for just like calling things off. So he tried to make Lindsay look crazy. He tried to make her crazy. He tried to get her to act crazy. She did that, of course, because she can be literally goaded into doing literally anything. And so he called production back in the final hour to basically film him breaking up with her, essentially. Now, they just like, you know, had a complete war with each other for the next 9 months. Like, battle of the tabloids, battle of the press, battle of the paparazzi. Like, he said, she said, giving op-eds, giving quotes, Jesus. Instagrams, all of it, right? We're just like, they were the at war thing. With each other.
Yeah.
And the reunion left nothing resolved. And people clearly hate Lindsay, like, on the cast. Like, they all hate her. And so, her only, like, semi-true ally in the house besides Gabby is, like, out now. Danielle just got fired.
Oh.
And wow. So I just like don't know how these two are going to film.
Filming picks up.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. It gets dark and like the second it gets dark, my brain yawns. I'm so sorry. Filming picks back up this weekend for July 4th. And so I guess everyone is coming back except for Danielle, and there's going to be new people.
Oof.
This was obviously going to be the case. I mean, Jesse Solomon and Wes Wilson like totally had a breakthrough season. And so
wasn't Wes getting like all of huge features and shit? Like,
huge. And I expected that they were all going to be there, but I am just shocked. I'm shocked that they're coming back.
Do people
back
hate Lindsay for like the right reasons, or is it like misogyny?
Both. I think it's partly misogyny, and I think it's partly also her personality. But like, you know, I love crazy women. I
of
love
course,
temperamental
we support
women.
Crazy women.
I love insane women. I love women who are wrong. And so she makes a great TV character, and I love to root for her and her antics. But like, she would probably be very hard to be friends with in real life. Okay. Another thing, JoJo Siwa clapped back at the haters at Pride this weekend. Did you see this?
Is this where she was also like chugging Fireball on stage? I was like, diva.
No, this is even funnier. So she showed up for Trixie Mattel's Solid Pink Disco Work. In New York on the 29th. And I'm just going to play this video because we don't really have to read this people's story about it. It's like pretty self-explanatory what's happening
okay.
here.
Let's play it.
Who the living fuck just booed me? Where did I come from? Which one of you? Which one of you? Respectfully, fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm the background dancer doing the double flip-off.
Oh, this is sweet.
And then gets a bouquet of flowers.
Work.
Puts one in her teeth.
Oh.
And then puts it in her bra. And then in her pants.
Work. Oh my gosh, and it's the teddy bear. Yeah. Like, headpiece and bra.
It's a lot. It's a lot. And then it's gets up on the speaker. She's a fucking charged. Rock star. She's a fucking rock star.
That is a rock star.
Fuck the booer. Somebody just chucked a bra at me.
And then runs around on stage.
Wow. Wow. Whoa. Wow. Powerful. Whoa.
Respectfully, fuck you.
I don't know. That's star power to me. Okay. Also, that just reminded me, before the Alaska show, they had Princess from Oasis do like a whole like, oh my God, it was like 6-7 acts. It was like this huge, like, mega drag performance. The best one, unfortunately, hands down, was this one drag king who did like a JoJo Siwa Karma cover. And they were doing the whole dance, the like, what's that thing she does? I can't do it. She like, she keeps like, you know, the thing where she does, where she like throws her hand down the whole time, that like iconic dance. Brought the house down, down. People were like standing and cheering for this JoJo drag. Like, it was so iconic. And I was like, I don't know, somehow after that I was like, I think I'm even more of a fan than I was before. The song is good. Like, the song is good. I'm sorry. It's a bop.
I have one last thing that I
you're
think
like,
you'll
I can't acknowledge that whatsoever.
I'm not gonna acknowledge that. I have one last thing that I think will be good for you. Tate McRae is not eligible and has been disqualified from receiving Best New Artist at the Grammys. Let's fucking go.
Wait, why?
Okay, so basically it comes down to rule violations, and not necessarily like Tate has like willfully violated rules. It's just
it's
that
like a technicality kind
she of thing. Doesn't really qualify, because not only has she had sort of like a moment like this prior, which you have to have it be proven that basically like that you can be working like, for instance, like you can be working like Victoria Monet, right? But then none of the other music ever charted or like got the way that it did on the most recent album. And so when you can prove that you had like a verifiable spike, unprecedented spike in success, that's one of the ways that you can qualify. Where like you could be a working musician for 10 years, but then suddenly if your song gets on the Billboard 200 and you have this big career moment, that's one of the things that makes you eligible for Best New Artist, which is how you get people like Tinashe or Victoria Monet or like people like that, where you're like, wait, but she has like 4 albums. The other way is that you can just keep submitting yourself. And you, however, only get to submit yourself up to 3 times, and then you get disqualified.
That does explain some things.
And Tate McRae has already submitted herself 3 times for Best New Artist, or at least her team has. And every time has obviously not received it. And so, sorry, Tate McRae. It's donezo for you. Now,
I'm sorry.
Obviously, they say that like she could be... No, this was the crazy part. She could be eligible for Record of the Year, which sounds... in like that's insane to think that she's
it's
gonna get Record of the Year,
babe, sorry.
best pop solo performance and Song of the Year, and okay, like well, again that like
you know what
all of those
shoot
sound
for the
insane.
Stars I'll shoot
like,
for the stars you never
all
know.
Of those sound just insane in light of like everything else, you know what I mean?
I didn't know that whole thing that you can do it multiple times. That really does explain.
And by the way,
Victoria
it's all
Monet.
Gonna go to Taylor Swift, obviously,
in the end, unfortunately.
obviously.
No, when Victoria Monet won like Best New Artist, I legitimately was like, I've been listening to her for like 6 years. Like, I was like, I what do you mean? But you know what? Hey, she deserves it. She does.
Well.
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 What?
Well.
Did you want to go? You beat Erdtree, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I beat Shadow of the Erdtree. No summons either. I mean, I had my own summon, but I didn't like summon anyone.
I mean, they're kind
guy.
Of shit anyway. Tolier. And
well, no, he's good as like a damage sponge, but like the guy's
that's really
movement.
It, yeah.
What ended up killing me the most about the final guy, which like spoilers, so we won't say, but like the final
boss,
the thing that kept killing me was that the move set was so unpredictable and so like unrelenting.
You do not know
like,
if it's gonna come for you or around
or
you
summon.
Or around the corner
so
or above.
I found that it was actually easier to just have like a thing tanking it, like a summon, like one, and then just work on it myself, because then I could
let them go and then you go in after.
Yeah. And like, then I could like predict it. Or no. Like, I would summon my own thing, like a mimic tier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think I beat it with the mimic tier because I did bleed, because the thing is so big that I just bleeded him.
No, my Rivers of Blood is
the
only thing that works.
By the way, don't use Rivers of Blood. Use Impenetrable Wall or impenetrable Thorns. It literally just like shoots spikes out of the ground. And the bigger the hitbox, the more bleed it procs. And it can pluck, I think it can proc bleed like twice on a single hit.
Oh, but it's a, oh, it's like I do a faith.
It's a sorcery. Oh, well, yeah, faith. It's a faith. No, it's a sorcery.
It says faith 24
required. It's a sorcery
required.
With faith requirements.
Yeah, I see. That's what I mean. Yeah, yeah.
So I was casting it with the thorn staff in the main hand and then the staff that you get from Manus Matter in the other hand because it has high arcane scaling. And then I would just dual wield it and I would let the summon catch aggro. And I think I used Lutel the Headless because he teleports so he can like keep aggro, but then he would get off aggro and not like die right away because he can like teleport around. Mm. And so then I would like proc bleed once or twice and then stop attacking entirely and just like let the attack cycle run its course on me, let the summon grab aggro again and then like do bleed. And I basically just did a game of attrition and I beat him. I'll send you the video of it. I beat him.
Oh, you have to save that clip.
Literally, absolutely. I had like this much health left.
All your flasks
zero,
done.
Zero flasks, zero anything. Girl. And he was literally like coming down on me for that swipe where he stabs it into the ground and then like throws up a million things and then goes like doon 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 on you over and over again with like, you know, the Melania one where she does Scarlet Aeonia and then she blossoms up and she sends those like Scarlet Rock clones at you
when they it's when like it's like that, six and like one
like,
second
they're like bitch. They're like, what if it's that but like the hyperpop version, so like
no, like you're literally seeing them in the air and then you're being attacked like 38 times
charred, like he was going into like the first attack animation of that attack when the bleed, and because so the closer range, if you do an uncharged attack of the thorns at close range, it literally like sprouts up in front of you and then sprouts up again, and it plucked bleed twice and like deleted like 25% of his health bar at once and killed him. And I literally was like
like sobbing.
He was literally about to come down on me and I was working on him for like 3 days. Like
that's
literally
how it feels. I literally clocked in like a few hours yesterday. I was like, all right, we're getting started.
And as soon as I felt myself get frustrated, I was like,
put it down.
Okay. Putting it down.
Yeah.
And then I went into New Game Plus before I did that. I respect with my like final larval tier. Do you know Mesmer, his spear? Mm-hmm. I made like a Fire Knight build with his spear. So like high faith, like high-ish dexterity. Like my faith is like 80. My dexterity is like 55. Mm-hmm. And then like, you know, high vigor, high stamina, like only like 20 magic or whatever. Cause I don't need that much. Cause I mostly use the skill. Mm-hmm. And then I have like a few incantations, like fire incantations in case I need to be at range. But that spear has like a really fun Ash of War. It's that one that he does where he sweeps the fire and then does the like spinning
attack
iconic. On you.
Yeah, that's
and
iconic.
Then slams into the ground and all the spears come up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the Ash of War on it. And then if you hold R2, you can throw it for free.
Oh.
And so
you throw it, like, but it comes right back kind of thing.
It comes right back. No FP, nothing. And so because it's like a throwing spear. And if you two hand it, you can use the two handed talisman to like boost your attack power.
Yes.
So I did that. And then the fire scorpion charm and all that. But like, it's so much fun because I went into New Game Plus, like just demolishing everything with it.
Literally,
as you do in New
Game
Plus, of course. Yeah. But it's fun because I can be at range and still like demolish things. And the most fun demolishing was, it's kind of wonky where the spear gets thrown. Like I haven't quite gauged it yet, but you know, Aguil's lake in the very beginning, the dragon. Who like comes down on the lake.
Mm-hmm.
I was killing him and then he like flew up to do the fire breath attack and I just looked up and threw the spear and I got a video of it. It literally just like clipped one of his legs and killed him in midair, which I've never done before.
I was gonna say, you can throw that high. Like,
yeah,
holy shit.
I looked up and just like blind. I wasn't even locked onto him or anything. He like, because I wasn't locking on because the Ash of War like spins you around a lot if you lock
on. Also, a lot of those big bosses you don't even want to lock on.
No,
like,
you don't even want to lock on.
Kills
so
you
I just like blind through it, unlocked on, like 360 no-scoped him with the fucking spear. And I was like, let's go. I fucking love this game.
The way I was like not going to do New Game Plus 2. And then as I'm finishing this, I'm like, well, What else is there, Mama? I'm sorry. It's so good. Okay, let me tell you one thing, too. Everyone says this game is too hard. I know
my 400 hours of this game are, like, ridiculous.
Everyone says the DLC is too hard and the bosses are too hard, and they already nerfed some of it. I feel like they were kind of easier than I was expecting. Like, literally,
Mesmer took me, like, 5 tries, maybe?
That was quick. Relana was, like, not that hard. I'm sorry. Like, I think everyone
Relana was the one that was the most challenging, but only because
it depends on your build. That's true,
I had done, like, I think pure sorcery builds really struggle.
Oh, I was like bleed.
Yeah,
katana
I think pure
only
sorcery
her.
Struggles because a lot of the movesets are just so fast that the like usual
the DLC
thing of,
bosses
like,
are on like crack,
throwing out a few so glintstone fast. Ice crags and then dodge dodge few glintstone, like that's just not going to work because they move so quick. And Night Comet
that was
such
me
a
with,
fast charge time.
That was me with Bale. I had the great katana, which is like really slay, but it's still not
Bale
fast.
Was the one that gave me actually besides the final
really
boss.
Yeah.
Besides the final boss, Bale was the only Girl. Boss I had to do more than 2 or 3 times.
I was telling Pierce, I was like, I love the DLC because instead of them doing like 10 move sets in a row, it's like 45 move sets in a row. Like you literally are just spending like a minute and a half like dodging.
Bale's move
and then get
set,
one attack.
The one that like reliably killed me if I didn't kill him before.
Oh, I think I
was
know.
In the second phase when he flies up and does the like ring of fire around the arena, and it's like
everything's on fire. You're on fire.
If the guy Igon that you can summon inside the arena does not have aggro during that attack, I will die. Like that was it.
Oh,
I was
you
like,
could summon inside the arena.
Didn't you do Igon's quest?
Oh wait, is it the dragon lady?
No, the guy that did you kill any of the dragons on the way up, or did you run past
I
them?
Did, but there's one I still haven't gotten yet. I need to go back. I forgot.
Is it the fighting ones?
No, I got those.
Well, if you go to didn't you hear the guy? Remember the guy crying at the base of the mountain before you get to the dragon like summoner pit or whatever? There's like a guy being like, "Oh, poor pitiable me, make it stop, make it stop." And if you talk to him a bunch,
I killed him, I think.
Matt.
I couldn't get him to talk. He would never say anything.
Well, because that's you're not supposed to.
I know. I was impatient.
If you find that's such an insane thing to do is to like
well, sometimes you kill them, then something happens, maybe. Not really.
Oh, I am playing an anti-frenzy flame like RP in my new game plus, so I'm killing all the merchants because they are all frenzied.
Oh, I love that.
And
I did do the
from them anyways.
What is
I'm on
the
like
name?
I'm doing like Mesmer RP, so I'm like on a holy crusade.
Oh, I like that. I did do the one where you become the dragon god for the communion lady outside.
Yeah,
where you like give her Talia's potion.
You get her as the summer. You get her as the summon.
No, you actually can't summon them, but you can. You get their Ash of War after because they become your god, or you become their god. Because
wait,
so this is,
I gave her. You gave her the nectar to sleep, right?
Yeah.
At night, and then when you beat Bale and go back to her, she's like, "You beat my king," and then now you need to become my lord, and she becomes a summon.
Oh, I kept talking to her and you can like reveal that you did that to her. And then she like has this whole thing where she's like, oh, I'm
assuming. Same
and then
thing.
She disappeared and became an Ash of War for me.
Like, what's the Ash of War?
It's her. It's like her as an
no,
Ash of
that's
War.
What a summon is, you
oh, sorry.
Dummy.
I think I meant summon as like an NPC summon.
Like
before
a spirit
a
Ash, you dummy.
Yeah,
and that's
what
not
I
called
meant.
An Ash of War.
Sorry. Okay, sorry. That's what it was.
That's
spirit
what I was
Ash,
like,
Ash of
I was
War.
Like,
my bad.
What?
Yeah.
She's pretty good. She gives you the buff, the like dragon lightning buff that's an incantation that like basically I think greatly raises all your resistances.
I need to get into my like dragon era. I have like all the stuff and I haven't tried it yet.
I know. That'll be one of my other builds is like full.
Because you can become
build.
A dragon, can't you? Like a
yeah,
skin.
Yeah, one of
basically.
The things. There's like a Stone Lord dragon skin that you can get. What
Girl,
was your favorite area
so crazy.
in the DLC?
That's challenging. I mean, I love the Fisher moment. That was like so gaggy.
The
that
Fisher.
Boss was so the Fisher that you dive down with all the coffins where you get to the putrescent night.
Oh,
before Saint Trina. Girl.
Spoilers,
sorry.
Diva.
Oh, sorry. I don't know.
Spoilers,
I don't know how y'all are not this
Diva.
Far.
Spoilers, Diva.
But the Fisher at the end of the Cerulean Coast was pretty cunt. That was, even though it's like a very small, like quick area. But also,
the Fisher, though.
That's what it's called, the Fisher.
Oh.
The hole
oh,
you
I
go
thought
down.
You meant like a guy that puts a rod into the ocean to catch fish. You mean
no.
A fissure.
A fissure, yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. That like was, what you got in your asshole after fucking so much.
That was the gaggy area. And then, I mean, honestly, I mean, it's a really small area, but like the America's Village was like kind of gaggy. The one or Shaman
Village.
That
made me so sad.
I know. I was like, this is deep. Like, this is cutting deep.
Well,
like,
when you find
so
out that like she was basically like raised in captivity And like her whole people were just like basically like captives of the horn scent.
Yes.
And she was like made, like she made herself into a god to like punish the people that like subjugated her people, which is why Lita says the, like, Lita, I have my own feelings about, obviously, once you get to the end.
I need the
it.
Deep dive with
But
her,
when she's like, they weren't victims, they were just on the losing side of a war.
Yes,
like,
yes.
I was like wondering for the payoff of that. And then,
you're like, girl,
like,
what?
The Shaman Village, you really have to read the lore about it because it was like,
oh, I read the
I was
items.
Like,
yeah.
And the like minor Erd tree that she plants there.
Yes.
I was like, okay, wait.
But then they're
America,
like, there was nobody
America,
there to bless anymore.
America heads were up. America heads, we are so up.
By the way, you threw me off for so long because you were talking about how you got to that area early or like easily. And it's like, bitch, you have to do a whole ass thing to get in there. You were like, oh, I found like an elevator to get there. That's not how it works whatsoever.
Matt. Yes, you find the elevator, you go to where Commander Gaius is, and then you do the emote at the statue.
Yeah, but you have
to
find
emo.
The emote in the first place, which you never
well,
mentioned.
Yeah, but
you
why
did not mention
wouldn't,
emote whatsoever.
But why
and you said
you
got there early
why
in the game.
Why wouldn't you? Yeah, because I found that emote, like, immediately.
Well, not all of us did.
Why I got to the Shadow Keep the back way. I went into the Shadow Keep through the church.
See, I didn't get there till way later.
Yeah, I got through the I got through the Shadow Keep through the church section.
Because you were like,
so,
oh yeah, it was so quick. And I was like in that area. I was like, where the fuck did she go? It took me so long to find that back area. I was like so confused. But funny enough, I got to some areas so early that like everyone, like I had people asking me how to get there. That's why I love that game. It's so good. That map design is so iconic. Like From Software legitimately, like, I don't know what they're doing, but they are like cooking with the most fire shit ever. Like that map design is mind-blowing. The verticality, that map is like a cube. Like it looks like a flat map and then you're like, this is actually a very large cube because you can legitimately go like any direction anywhere at any time. You just don't know what's gonna happen. Wait, what was your favorite area? Or, you know, what was your favorite boss?
Oh, I mean, Bale was just like so gaggy.
Bale was pretty gaggy.
I really liked
the is it Midra? Yeah, the frenzy boss.
Oh,
and
that
Mance
one
Manor.
Was the design of that was really cool.
Yeah, that was pretty gaggy.
I'm trying to look at like a list of all these.
I also do love the Motherfinger, which that lore also was crazy.
I mean, it changes, like,
everything. Yeah, that whole quest line changes everything. I was like, holy shit, these bitches are insane.
Okay, wait, I'm looking at them right now because I just want to, like, look.
I do love Rolana, too. Like, that was just, like, very fun. Fire ice vibes, we can always handle. We can always have that.
Why can't I find, like, boss...
You gotta look at the remembrances.
Wait. All boss remembrances.
Yeah. The Motherfinger, I can't... I look at me like the mother finger.
Mother of fingers, excuse you.
All right. Well, I was thinking mother god vibes, but like...
Okay, wait. Finger. Shadow of the Earth Tree. Okay. I thought the sunflower was sickening.
Oh, that was cunt. I did not know until someone told me that you can like get their damage taken out early by like doing that. You can stab them through the head before the next part starts. I did not. That was crazy. I had no idea.
Yeah. I thought that's how you do it.
Well, you can still kill them anyway, but I didn't realize you could like get
their
health cut early. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you had to do that because I remember one time I didn't do it and then they reanimated with full health and I was like, oh, you must have to stab them in the head three times.
No, you don't have to stab them in the head three times. It's just three times in general. You have to kill them.
I also thought that the dancing lion was really gaggy too.
That was pretty gaggy. The second one too. Girl.
Yeah, oh, girl,
that was
the death
hard.
One.
That
oh,
was
I ranged
one of the
it.
Ones.
I fully ranged it. I was like, "Fuck you, fuck
when
you."
When they
fuck
start
you.
Spawning the death blight, fucking
no, I know.
Creatures,
that's when
I was
like,
"Fuck
you,
cut it."
I
like
the
up.
Dancing lion though because its moveset was really
it's
interesting,
really
and I like how it like repeatedly changes movesets. I think Rolana's was fun, but like, dude. Her fucking twin moon thing.
Oh,
I'm like,
that gagged me.
I just
so
that was
hard.
The move that got me literally every time. Yeah. Like literally every time.
Oh, I dodged it somehow the first time and then killed her right after. And I was like, bless. I don't know how I avoided that.
I also really like what they did with the final boss too. Like, I actually really enjoyed the fight once
people
I got
like,
over the like. I can't do this. Like it was, there would be times
it's fun.
Where
it's,
like,
it's fun. I like that.
If
like
you're
it.
Not, I was doing like a low armor class and I had like, I only had like 60 vigor.
Oh, were you doing a lightweight? kind of thing.
But I also was like max like scattered tree blessings yeah, too. Same. Like it wasn't like I wasn't leveled up. Like I was fully, I had all the fragments, everything.
Yep. Yep.
And actually I had only missed one. I only had to look up exactly one, and it was in like literally the stupidest place that I would have never found it.
I had it where I missed a very like regular one. It was the one right in front of Shadowkeep. I was like, how did I miss this? Yeah. I was like spending like an hour and a half trying to find
literally.
It.
Literally. Like, and wow. So yeah, the one that I missed was in like a random area in the Abyssal Woods. And I was like, I never would have came over here.
Oh, that one too. Yeah, I'd look that one up.
So anyways, like, there would be times where if I stepped into that arena and I missed that opening move where he does the lunge at you, if I missed it, I would immediately die. Like if it hit me directly, dead, immediately dead. So there'd be like three or four times in a row where I would walk in and he would immediately lunge and then it would just be like instant KO. But I have found in this boss arena, by the way, just to anyone listening, if you're still listening, the best way to do it is there is like an aggro range in the boss arenas where if you step into aggro range, they will immediately start performing moves. But if you walk in and then hug.
Okay, I was noticing that.
If you walk in and then hug the yellow fog wall,
yeah,
you can actually summon anything and they will just like slowly walk
I noticed
you
that
until you
like
get
sometimes
into range.
That would happen and I'd be like, oh, this is much easier.
Yeah.
I do love all the DLC bosses are like, you've been in this room for 1 second, we are literally gonna drop an atomic bomb on
you. I mean, that's how I felt about the remembrance of putrescence, like literally running up on you.
That was such a cunty the boss one fight. I'm sorry, I want to fight it again.
I liked though that they all required me to like change up the way that I did things because like Gaius was the one I think that gave me a lot of trouble because I was fighting him all wrong. I would like pull out my little sword and like pull out my little guy and then we would get thrashed around for 5 fucking minutes and then died. And what I finally did with him is I found those great shield soldier knights that are just like skeletons with great shields. And if I summoned them, they would just encircle him and he would do little to no damage, allowing me to just wail on him from afar with stance breaks.
Oh, that's good.
And like, it was really nice. Now, obviously you had to like completely know his moveset, like dodging through him rather than backwards, like is common in the
game.
That's
usually what the DLC kind of requires.
Yeah, anyway. Like dodge like, through, dodge through into the side, like the Fume Knight from Dark Souls 2. Mm-hmm. But once I figured that out and I figured to do summons that could hold his aggro and not take damage, it was like, chef's kiss, bellissimo. So anyways, Mesmer was also super gaggy.
Yeah, Mesmer was fun. That was like
when he reveals the like dual nature stuff or that like the eyeballs are seals. I was like,
yes,
great, because it changes also about Merica and Radagon too, like how that works. And like Saint Trina and
Mama, everyone's a twin and a duplicate and like a clone. Yeah, I don't know. It's
tea.
Crazy.
That's tea, Mama.
That's Mama. That's tea.
So, anyways, Elden Ring, great game, still the best. Don't have any complaints.
Literally
love the new story.
I'm just obsessed with the DLC. Is literally like one of the top 50 most popular games of all time. Just the DLC
good.
Alone
it
is
should
like
be.
Ranking above GTA.
It should
5.
Be. And don't listen to the fucking weirdos, okay? Because it's a good game.
Get your scatty fragments. Stop bitching about the game until you don't have the scatty fragments,
summon.
Girl.
Bitch, do the NPC quest because it lets you summon the. I had a whole guy with a great bow holding aggro on like the fucking dragon for me. Okay, they do that because. It is a story moment to have an NPC fight the boss with you. And the bosses are designed around that.
And look shit up. People who are like, I don't want to look it up. I'm like, okay, well, then you're going to suffer. Sorry. Unless you're like really smart. Like you,
they literally
you don't have
let
to.
You add messages in the game to be like, go here, don't go here.
There's also
you
that.
You really think that they're not going to let you look shit up? Anyways, let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here.
Three, two,
one.
Bumping that.
Bumping that.